Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us come to God with, for a prayer of for illumination. Our Heavenly Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord, our Lord, with all our hearts, with all our lips. We love to praise for your works, your marvelous works. As we worship you today, we pray to you and we sing praises to your name. We are about to read your holy scripture, that we ask you to be with us, surround us with your love and care. Also, blot out all our iniquities and evil thoughts. Touch our hearts with your Holy Spirit so that as your word penetrates our eardrums, that your Spirit may come to our hearts, regenerate our hearts so that we may listen to you and apply these words in our daily lives. We pray that you would bless this congregation, that as we live through on this wicked world, there are many difficulties that we face every day. But today is your Lord's Day, that we ask you to take away all those worries so that we may focus on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite you for the scripture reading, which comes from Book of Acts. Acts 26, verses from 12 to 18. There we read about the Apostle Paul's testimony regarding his conversion. That is also written in Acts chapter 9, which we are going to read too. But first, let us read Acts chapter 26. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at the midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Going to turn to Acts chapter 9. Going to read the story about Saul's conversion. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. And Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise, and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So far, reading of the inerrant word of God. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples a question. He said, Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, Some people say John the Baptist. Some said Elijah. Or others, Jeremiah. Or perhaps one of the prophets. Then Jesus said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus was so pleased with that answer, because that was the right, very correct answer. You are the Christ, Simon Peter said. However, the question for us is, what does that mean by you are the Christ? You probably know the answer already. The word Christ means the anointed one. Well, in the Old Testament, prophet, priest, and kings, they were anointed with oil, which means they were appointed by God for special services. We confess that Jesus is the Christ, which means he was appointed for his special service. Well, he was not anointed with oil, but he was anointed by the Holy Spirit when he was baptized by John the Baptist. Well, the purpose of being anointed, as I said, in the Old Testament, as being a prophet, priest, and kings, they were appointed by God to serve God and to serve God's people. And we see the connection when we read about Jesus Christ being the Christ. He was appointed as the Christ to serve God and to serve God's people. And Jesus himself made this very clear in Matthew 20, verse 21. The Son of Man did not come to serve, but, come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. So in chapter 9, we see the flowing theme of our serving and suffering as chosen one, chosen vessel. And Acts chapter 9, this Jesus Christ, the anointed one, he was no longer with the people because he ascended into heaven. We read about that in Acts chapter 1. However, he gave the Holy Spirit to his people, which he was anointed with. And it's the same Spirit that Jesus had. And in Acts chapter 2, we read about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the people with the Holy Spirit began to serve God and also his people. And also by the power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel had spread throughout all Judea, Samaria, and even to the Gentiles. So you can draw a connection here that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit to serve God and his people. And by the coming of the Holy Spirit, his people also are called to serve God and his people. And then we read in previous chapter, Acts chapter 7, there came persecutions. What Jesus said in John 15 became true in Acts chapter 7. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Remember the word that I say to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So we can see the connection, another connection here. Our master was persecuted. And as we are called to be his disciples, we should be ready for the persecutions. While he was on this earth, he was hated. He was hated even by his own people. Now Jesus said his followers will also be hated by the people. People hated the followers of Jesus Christ so much that they even killed one. At the end of chapter 7 of book of Acts, Stephen, one of the seven, he was killed. And Acts chapter 8 begins with the phrase, now Saul was consenting to his death. Now you can see from verse 1 of chapter 8, you can see what kind of person Saul was. Saul was very against this new religion. He was very against Jesus. Acts chapter 3, chapter 8, verse 3 says, he destroyed the churches, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And he was not satisfied with driving them from Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 26, as we read from verse 11, Paul said he used to persecute Christians even to foreign cities. Saul changed his name to Paul. So his eagerness to eradicate Christians is very well expressed in our text. In verse 1. Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked the letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. We might wonder, it says Saul asked the letters from the high priest, and we might wonder why he needed letters to eradicate the Christians. Well, what kind of letters was he talking about? At this time, the Jews were under control of the Roman Empire, yet they were still sovereign. As a sovereign city or state, They could practice their own religion. They also had some privileges. One of the privileges includes the right to extradition. In other words, if there was somebody who committed a crime in their land, in Jewish nation, the Jewish nation had the right to demand that criminal back so that they can punish him according to their own law. So Saul was very aware of this privilege, and he acquired letters from the high priest so that he can persecute, he can chase down all those Christians who were living outside of Jerusalem. So it was, with the letters in his hands, he went on a journey to persecute Christians in Damascus. So here's the theme and the points. The conversion of Saul, we're going to look at first, who called Saul? And second point, we're going to look at why was he called? As you can see, the first point of this sermon is a simple question. Who called Saul? Well, of course, many of you who are already familiar with the story already know that it's Jesus Christ. Verse 5 has the answer to the question that the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." But perhaps I should ask this question a little differently. Who is this Jesus Christ in this passage? Who is this Jesus that called Saul? Well, I'd like to focus on some of the verses. Verse 3 says, "Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven." Later in Acts chapter 26, verse 13, Paul recaptured his conversion story and he said, "I saw light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me." Well, you know the many passages that talks about Jesus being a light. For instance, in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world," Jesus said. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking about the light that guides people to life. "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Apostle Paul said this light was brighter than the sun. Have you ever seen any light brighter than the sun? Staring at the sun, even for a few seconds, hurts eyes. Apostle Paul's language reminds us of the transfiguration on the mount. In Matthew 17, Jesus took Peter, James, and John on a high mountain. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Peter said, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Well, Peter didn't know what he was talking about because he was greatly afraid. So the glory of Jesus Christ was so great that the disciples didn't know what they were talking about. And we see the similar thing in this passage. The description of Paul, especially in Acts chapter 26, reminds us of the description of the Son of Man in the Revelation chapter 1. Apostle John was on the island called Patmos. He saw a vision. He saw the Son of Man. He described the Son of Man as follows: "His eyes like a flame of fire. His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." So what the Apostle Paul described in Acts chapter 26 somewhat matches with what the disciple John, Apostle John, described in his vision, also the account of transfiguration. So both passages, all those passages talk about Jesus in his glorified state. Glorified state. The glory of Jesus Christ is so magnificent that our eyes cannot bear the glory. So, going back to the question, who is Jesus that called Saul? Well, we can make a conclusion from verse 3 that this Jesus who called Saul was the light of life. He is the King of glory. His glory shines brighter than the sun. And the one that is speaking to Saul is the glorified Son of God. Now, that seems to be a very simple answer. Now, brothers and sisters, you probably heard many times or many sermons about his bright appearances like the sun. You probably heard many sermons about glorified Jesus Christ. However, here's the thing. Here's one thing that we should never underestimate. That is, for the Christ to be glorified, he had to suffer first. And that is very important. For the Christ to be glorified, he had to suffer first. Didn't Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 24, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise." It's a very strong word. It was necessary. Do you know what that means? That means, again, before the glorification, suffering comes first, and it is necessary. So again, who is this man who called Saul? It is Jesus Christ, who suffered on behalf of us, and after was glorified on the third day. And this is why he shone brighter than sun in this passage. And here we see the connection with the Christ who came to be our suffering servant, and as we are called to be his disciples, are to expect the sufferings as well. In verse 4 it says, "Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.'" Acts chapter 26 verse 14 reveals more information about this Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, "When we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me." And he said, saying in the Hebrew language. After seeing the magnificent glory of God, Apostle Paul fell to the ground. And I mean, who could stand the magnificent glory of God? Saul was without sight for 3 days. Well, Apostle Paul, he may have lost his sight, but he didn't lose his hearing. He clearly remembered that Jesus spoke, what he spoke, and he spoke in the Hebrew language. Well, he spoke in the Hebrew language. And you might wonder, well, what's the big deal that Jesus spoke in the Hebrew language? Well, what do you expect? A Jewish man, of course, he speaks in Hebrew. Dutchman speaks in Dutch, not in German. Hungarians speak in Hungarian, not in Russian. But brothers and sisters, here lies another precious information about Jesus Christ. That is, think about it, the most high Son of God, the living Son of the living God, he came to this earth and he spoke
in our language. Why? It is because he desired to have a fellowship with his people. He still desires to speak to us. That is why he left a book in human language. In his holy word, he revealed his will. Well, think about in his holy word, think about his life. He grew up in the Nazareth and he spoke the language of the people. That's why he spoke, the Apostle Paul remembered, he spoke in Hebrew language. It is very likely that Jesus spoke even the people's dialect. When Peter denied Jesus, those standing nearby him came up to him and said, "Surely you are the one of them, for your accent betrays you." Well, which accent were they talking about? Well, you have the accent from Nazareth, where Jesus came from. Here we find our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a very compassionate God who approached to his people, speaking in their language, and suffered on behalf of his people, and was glorified. And Jesus called Saul to be his missionary because Jesus wants to let Gentiles such as not us to know about his love and compassion. This leads to the second point. Why was Saul called? Brothers and sisters, as you can see, the second point is also a question. Why did Jesus call Saul? Saul was very well educated. According to Acts chapter 22, Saul studied under very famous teacher, Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the first century Jewish rabbi. He was a leader in the Jewish Sanhedrin. He was Gamaliel is mentioned a couple of times in the scripture. He was a very well-respected teacher. It was under the instruction of Gamaliel that Paul developed an expert knowledge in the Hebrew scriptures. So in God's providence, God used this Jewish rabbi to equip Apostle Paul for his service. And the Apostle Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. However, according to Acts chapter 9, Jesus didn't call Saul because he's smart, nor because Saul was going to write many books in the New Testament. But according to our text, Jesus called Saul for two reasons. We read about that when in the conversation between the Lord and Ananias. Saul was chosen first. He was chosen to be a vessel of God. Verse 15, Jesus said, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name." What is vessel, brothers and sisters? A vessel is a hollow container, like a cup or a pitcher or a vase, and was often made from a clay. The Apostle Paul used the word vessel several times, especially in his epistles. For instance, in Romans chapter 9:21, it's a good example. He says, "Does not the potter have a power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor?" So just as the potter has right to make whatever he wishes to make out of the same lump of a clay, the point is, in Romans chapter 9, God can call anyone to equip him to achieve whatever the goal that he has in his mind. And the vessel
cannot protest to the potter saying, why have you made me like this? Because potter has every right. The Lord wanted to use Saul as his vessel. When the Lord told Ananias to go meet Saul, Ananias was skeptical about this plan, also about this man, because he heard many bad things about this man. He had done so much harm to the saints in Jerusalem, and it's perfectly understandable in a human perspective. God's acts and his plan sometimes doesn't make any sense. And that was the case of Ananias. But again, God is sovereign. He is the potter. He can make anything out of the lump of clay to achieve his goals. Second, the Lord said, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Suffering is another reason why the Lord wanted to call Saul. Well, there are many types of sufferings. Physical sufferings. Sufferings that come from fragility of body. Sufferings that come with age. Emotional sufferings. Sufferings that come from relationship issues. Sufferings caused by our sin. But brothers and sisters, the suffering that this text is talking about is a very special suffering. It's the suffering in the Lord. The reason why the Lord called Saul to suffer is not to punish him for what he has done to the churches. This is suffering. This is about suffering in the Lord, and that is very important. As I mentioned in the introduction, it was necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer before his glorification. So the Lord said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And that is why Jesus said to Paul, Saul, when he met him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Because being followers of Jesus Christ means suffering in him. Saul was not called to be served, but to serve. Saul was called not to enjoy all the glories of the world, but to suffer for the sake of his Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering is a great theme in Paul's epistles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, do we not have a right to eat or drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife? Do we have no right to refrain from working? And he said, nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endured all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. You see, he was refraining from all those glories, all those rights, all those comfortableness for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Suffering. The false apostles in the Corinth, he saw Paul was suffering, and they questioned the validity of Paul's apostleship because they just couldn't understand. They thought, if Paul was the real man of God, how can he possibly suffer and have so many witnesses? So the false apostles believed that genuine apostles performed mighty signs, wonders and miracles. Of course, Paul, he performed many miracles and signs. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians that the true strength comes from weakness of the vessels. The weakness of the instruments magnifies the strength of the one who made the vessels. Well, these days, some charismatic churches believe that Christ's disciples should not suffer but prosper. It's all about blessings, all about miracles. However, for Apostle Paul, suffering is the proof of God's calling, because it means Saul was united with the Christ who suffered for us. Remember, brothers and sisters, Christ said that Christ will had to suffer for the glorification, and it is the same to us as well. Well, this is something that we can learn as we wish, and we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. The lesson from this little story can be applied to everyone, especially to the office bearers. Well, this applies to little James, because he was united in Christ. He's about to be united in Christ through the baptism. And he is called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as we are all united in Jesus Christ, again, we all also expect sufferings. And that's not the end. After the sufferings, there comes glorification in Jesus Christ. And we, as the vessels of God, we pray that God would use us for the glory of His name and the furtherance of His kingdom. Amen.